Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to do something we've never done before on this podcast. I am answering your questions. I posted on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I said, you can ask me anything, anything, anything. And so I have Tony Directs here today, friend of mine who I work with, and he is pulling out some questions. I have no idea what you're going to ask me, but look forward to getting into it.
There's some good questions in here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully.
Shall we just dive into it?
Let's do it.
Just jump in.
I'm ready.
All right. We're going to start off with TikTok.
Okay.
The good old TikTokers. We have from Too Addicted Topets. I'm sorry if I mess up your name. What was the defining moment that you knew you had to get clean and sober?
Oh, man. Well, the defining moment for me that I knew I had to get sober was when I thought I was possessed by the devil. Like, I really believed it. And I had spray painted my whole place red, which is just weird that I was so attracted to, like, everything being red. I felt lonely, ashamed. I had no money. I was doing things that I never thought I would be doing. And, you know, sometimes people always talk about a bottom, but there's always a lower bottom. It can always get worse.
I mean, yeah, if you think you're possessed and you're seeing the devil, then yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, but a lot of people go there and don't get sober. But for me, that was like, I need to do something because I am not going to end up. And I started selling drugs and I'm not that guy. I like to party with people, but to support my habit, I would sell drugs. So that was like another warning sign for me because I'm not that type of person. Like if I even take, you know, like if I'm at the supermarket and I even take like a marshmallow square out of the you know, the big bin, I start to feel guilty. Like even on drugs, I had a conscience.
Damn. Would you say that you were like, I mean, because you said you started seeing the devil, you thought you were possessed.
Yeah.
Were you afraid? Like, were you like,
I was afraid of getting caught, so I was really paranoid. You know, anyone that wants to change a behavior, it becomes scary when we don't know when that moment, like the window's really small. So people always, like I said, people always say, oh, well, I have to hit bottom first, but you don't. It's just, you got to figure out the solution quickly. And I knew a DJ that had gotten sober and I called him and I just followed his direction. And I think that's a key ingredient to like change is finding someone who you trust, who has conquered that thing you're struggling with and being like, how the hell did you do it?
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Next question is from Big Girl 74. I just need to know, like for years, I have wondered, do you get your eyebrows done?
Well, the answer to the question of do I get my eyebrows done is I do.
You do?
I go to my friend Anastasia has a place, it's in Beverly Hills. The reason I do is if mine just keep growing, they kind of like, have you ever gotten dinner with someone and you're just like, dude, trim your nose hairs or trim your ear hairs or like do something about your eyebrows. I'm that dude. If I didn't do something, I would have like a unibrow with like, that looks like a mustache.
No.
So I do.
You do get your eyebrows on every like every week or once every 2 weeks?
No, every like 2 months.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're good.
3 months.
All right. Margaret from TikTok wants to know, how tall are you?
Margaret.
And she's curious because she put 4 question marks.
Oh.
She's very curious.
So I'm the shortest male in my family, and I'm 6'5". So my brother's 6'8", my dad's 6'7", and I'm more of the stocky, like, male in the family. They're more like, oh, I don't know. What are those birds with, like, the more of the stomach? What are they? Flamingos?
Mm-hmm.
I would say they're more like flamingos, and I'm, like, kind of a big bear.
Ah, that's good, though. That's always good to be the tall one.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, these names are pretty tough. Saints asked, how can you trust someone who is not telling the truth?
How can you trust someone that's not telling the truth? Well, it depends on what they're not telling the truth about.
Mm.
Like, some people are not going to tell you the truth around a certain area of their life because it's none of your business.
Mm.
And just because someone lies about one area doesn't mean they're a liar. Like, we keep information out all the time when we're speaking to people about what we really think, because we're not going to tell someone everything we think about them, because that may not be helpful. That may be our own ego. So I think, like, it depends on what you're wanting to trust them about. If they're compulsive liar, I mean, I try not to be friends with people like
that. But even if we don't want certain people to know something about us,
doesn't make us a liar.
But why even lie? Why not just say, I'd rather not discuss that, or I'd rather just not open up about that?
Because,
like, why?
Well, because some people, I mean, how many times do we say, oh, I wish I didn't say that? I mean, if we could set boundaries all the time in our life, we would kind of be a control freak. And sometimes, like, you know, we all get that feeling, like, in our gut, or like when someone asks us a question that we really don't want to answer, and it's easier just to go with something else.
Hmm. So going back to the question, how can you trust someone? Can you trust them?
Well, I don't think you can. I think there's just degrees to trust. I could trust someone that they're going to show up on time, but not trust them to take care of my house when I'm gone. I mean, even you, Tony, when you started working with me for 6 months, we didn't leave you in my house alone.
True. Very true.
You know, and then after 6 months, I trusted you, but there's other people in my life. We learn over time, like, what works for us.
That's true. Patience, time. I like that.
It's funny, Samson and I used to be like, all right, Tony's upstairs. Because we didn't know you. Knew you from the gym.
Yeah. Know? All right. User 10200450 wants to know, what do you look for in a romantic partner? Ooh.
What do I look for? A lot of people I find online are always asking me about my, like, romantic partner or what I like, which I'm like, why are they asking me this? But I would say what I look for in a romantic partner is somebody that has passion in their own life, that they're chill. I tend not to be attracted to, like, really loud and life of the party types. I tend to be more into, like, someone that's more like we can share trust together and conversation, but everything's not out on the table. And I also like people that are of different culture than me, just meaning, like, I don't know, I find that American culture is a bit boring to me. I don't know, we got, like, 4th of July, we got, like, but some of the other cultures, it's, like, interesting, like, what their family dynamics are and, like, what they believe is important and what their values are. I also like people that are just interested in things, like,
what
that
kind of,
are
what kind of things,
like how to build something, how to get better at something, like someone who could be really curious about plants is attractive to me. Someone who's, like, into things I'm not into is attractive.
Okay. I like that.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble.
So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, Bearded Cuddle Monster. Mm. I like that name. Bearded Cuddle Monster
asks. That's your romantic type.
That's my romantic type. Right. Bearded Cuddle Monster. I got to go back to his username. What is the one song that brings you absolute joy? What song brings you to tears?
Oh, man. I got a lot of songs that bring me joy. I don't have songs that bring me to tears.
Mm-hmm. I believe that. Because you're not a crier. I don't think I've ever seen you cry.
Really?
Probably once, but it wasn't like a breakdown. You just like teared up a little bit.
I can cry to movies, but I don't feel like music for me like brings out like spirituality and fun and like excitement. And I go through phases, as you know, like, so I'll play a song for 2 weeks over and over and over again. And then I'll move on to another song for two. Like at one time it was Lane 8 Sunday Song.
Yeah.
Then it was Tarzan Boy.
Yep.
Then it was like this. It just bounces around, to be honest.
Yes.
But I like everything from vocals. I'm not a big hip hop guy and I'm not a big country guy.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree with you on the country. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know.
What?
It's just, it all sounds the same, but people who listen to country say the same thing about hip hop.
Yeah. Well, I find if a song is unrelatable to my own life, like I don't find hip hop relatable.
Mm.
I don't understand like, I mean, this is going to sound a certain type of way, but it's like rich white kids singing about the struggle in the hood, I think is ridiculous. And I know that's a huge market and they get really behind it, but I'm just like, if I can't relate to anything in it, I also don't like angry songs, you know, or like,
I think we're like the total opposites when it comes to music that we like.
Maybe it's the way you grew up.
Yeah. I mean, but like you said, listen to music that's relatable or that makes you just feel good.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I like Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
But I like it. I like her music because I feel like she's the best at her craft.
Mm-hmm. She's the queen of rap.
I think so. So I just find she's so entertaining.
Ruthless.
Ruthless. Ridiculous.
Talented. She writes a lot of her stuff.
Yeah. So I guess I like all types of music.
Okay. Juan Silva 996 asks, have you ever been in love?
I have been in love.
You have? When? Mm-hmm. How many times?
How many times have I been in love?
Yeah.
I would say I've been in love. Well, when I was younger, I don't know if it was love or like love is like one of those things that it like matures and changes. And there's like that infatuation. Then there's like infatuation love. And then there's like love. And I would say like in terms of degrees, I've been in love twice.
Okay. Recently?
No.
No, not recently.
Mm-mm.
Interesting.
But I feel great about it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Do you love do you miss that feeling?
At times, but I also like have been in it where I miss my independence. So it's like
what's one sign? Uh-huh. One sign that like clarifies that, oh yeah, I'm in love.
When I change my life for that other person.
Oh.
And when I go to great lengths to make their life better or easier or for them to feel like it's when I start to get really thoughtful about someone.
Yeah.
To the degree of like putting them ahead of myself.
Okay.
That's when I feel like I have that love and I love that feeling. And I'm sure it's going to come again.
Sorry, I'm like, ooh, these are good. These are kind of like they're dipping into your love life.
They seem to ask a lot about it.
George White Wolf asked, other than being a life coach,
yes,
what is your dream job?
Oh, my dream job, which is why I became a public life coach. My dream job is to be able to be respected internationally to where I could help communities build up resources and like get, I guess that's therapy and mental health, but I would rather spend my energy helping people that didn't really have a shot find a shot. And I'm drawn usually to like, that's why I went to Iraq and why I love going to Brazil. Like I do really have a strong desire to the adventure. And I love this idea of assisting people that never saw you coming. You know, as a life coach, people kind of see me, you know, here's who I am. This is what I do. They know about it. But when you're in like another country that has no resources, it's almost like, and I'm not religious.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to bring, because that's a lot of what happens. A lot of what happens in other countries is it's guised under like missionary, and we're going to Haiti, but we're building houses in Haiti, but we're going with our church. And then you see all these, you know, people in a circle holding, like my stuff's not that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to spread the word of like changing your life and getting better, not helping you through religion.
I like that. So what would your dream job be?
My dream job would
be if you weren't a life coach.
My dream job would be to like help communities in other countries. If I got out of mental health altogether, it would be, which I've started to do, which is like create scripts and treatments for like projects for movies and television. So at some point I'm looking to combine what I do with like TV and film.
You're giving him too much, Mike. You're giving him too much. Easy there. But yeah, you're speaking it into existence. So that's nice. You guys got to speak things into existence. Fred Valenzuela asked, when are you going to adopt me? With a sad face emoji.
Fred Venezuela.
Venezuela.
I'm not adopting anyone.
He put a sad face emoji too, like a... like it was like, please adopt me.
Yeah, I'm not adopting a stranger off TikTok.
So Fred.
Sorry, Fred. I love you. Fred. But.
Yeah. Speaking of adopt, would you ever adopt or would you ever have kids?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's not like on my bucket list. It's not like my top five, what I want to do in this life. But thank God there are a lot of people that is.
Yeah. Well, I've said this before to you, Mike, and I will say it again that we're live, is I think you would be a great dad. If you ever decided to have kids, whether it's to have a surrogate or, you know, have someone have your kids, or if you adopted, you would be an amazing dad.
I appreciate it.
The kids would love the art, the amazing art that you have here. They'd love Vita.
I just feel like if you have kids, you are committing to a lifestyle. And you have to be fully committed to and selfless with having a kid. I don't think you can be like selfish and have kids. And so like, I look at how many people have kids that don't give their kids the greatest shot. And although I would be able to prepare a kid to be in the world, I think at a pretty like, a great success, I just feel like I would have to give up a lot of areas of my life and a lot would have to change.
What do you feel like? What do you fear like you would lose?
Independence. Yeah. Like you're suddenly becoming really interested in you because you're wanting to protect the kid. It's like, what school are they going to? What activities are they doing? What is their health? Like you have to be fully committed to that kid. You don't get the luxury of doing both, in my opinion. Now, true. I haven't seen people get the luxury of doing both, but maybe there's a way to balance it.
Yeah. It's Anxiety. We should probably change that username.
Yeah.
It's Anxiety asks, what's your zodiac sign? Ooh, we're dipping into the zodiac signs. If you don't know this, Mike, tell him, how do you feel about zodiac signs?
I mean, I feel like wizards are more real than zodiac signs.
Oof.
Like fairies and pixies and trolls and goblins are closer to reality than what a zodiac sign says about someone. And I know that a lot of people on social media will go on and about like, oh, I'm this sign and you're this sign. I just feel like it's like saying this. I feel like there's more value in saying what's your favorite color.
Some people are like into zodiac signs. Like they firmly believe like that's.
Some people are into aliens. Some people are into wizards. You know, it's just, I think I roll my eyes because I just feel like I've never seen signs. You know, there's coincidences with like people getting along, but I don't think it's as, I feel like it's kind of like psychics.
Yeah. If you went on a date, right? And the guy asked you, one of the first questions that he asked you is, what's your zodiac sign?
I'd be turned off.
Really?
Yeah.
Instantly?
Instantly.
Wow.
I'd instantly be turned off. I'd be turned off and I'd be confused. Why am I on this date?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I feel like it's just like, what are you? First of all, when someone asks that question, then they're trying to say our compatibility is dictated by this thing where there's no research that supports it. And I just kind of feel like it's like, I don't know, it's not hot.
That's okay.
I mean, I'd rather them say like, where were you born?
My next question, Molly Susanna, was where were you born?
Oh.
That's so weird. You literally just...
I'm a psychic. No, where I was born, Long Beach, California. I grew up in Laguna Hills, California.
Oh, good old California.
Yes.
Robert Joseph 043 asked, why are you still single? You're so good looking.
LOL. Why are all these questions about my fucking romantic life? I think too, it's like in general, you know, there's this stigma, even more so than mental health, I feel like, about being single. Like somehow if you're single, that implies that there's something either wrong with you or you've been hurt. And people will ask me, why are you single?
Mm-hmm.
Which is odd. Like, I think it's odd. And like, I think this infatuation with what celebrities dating what celebrity, I'm like, I could give a rat's ass who's dating who. You know, like, you know how the, in all these magazines, it'll be on the cover of magazines. I'm like, I can't believe that people are interested in who strangers are in relationships with and be critical of those strangers. It's like, and when I've been in a relationship, like, I'm not vocal about it, at least not on social media yet.
Yeah.
Because I just am like, why am I going to put out there my relationship? And I think too, like, look, being in this life coaching space, there aren't, this is a segue, but it's like, there aren't a lot of gay life coaches like that are mainstream, that go into different environments that are like heterosexual or gay or like, you know, different cultures. And I feel like I'm able to do a lot of that. And part of it is, I don't think that me putting my relationship or relationships on other people is helpful. Like if my job is to help people, I don't see the value. I mean, I guess I would share if I'm in, I don't want anyone feeling bad too, like, oh, everyone's in a relationship. But I just think this whole idea, like the divorce rate's over 50% in the US. You know, people get married and everyone acts like it's the most beautiful thing at the wedding. Meanwhile, like we talked about on that one podcast episode about, you know, getting drunk at parties, it's like, the odds are it's not going to last. And I don't know, for example, for all I know, I could end up in a relationship with one person or two people. I could end up in being single for a long time, but I just want to make sure that people who are single don't have to feel the pressure that's put in like every movie, every news article about like being in a relationship.
Yeah, because it's funny, like when you go to like it's like those people that say whenever they go to family parties, there's always the aunt or uncle that's like, oh, where's, you know, why don't you have, or why aren't you in a relationship yet? It's like, why? I mean, okay, to answer your question, why are you still single? I'm sure it's very simple.
Well, because I haven't chosen to be in a relationship.
Bam.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
As they should know.
Like I think I just get activated around it because people ask me that a lot.
I bet.
And I don't understand the theory. Like, it's a weird theory to me. There, why aren't you? Instead of saying, why are you in a relationship? Like, why are you in that relationship that's unhealthy? Why have you stuck with it for several years? So we're trying to compare a relationship potentially that's unhealthy to someone being single. Tell me which relationship is more unhealthy. And then you look at relationships overall. There's this idea, which I think sucks for people in relationships, that they're so great. You know, the sex life's great. They're exciting. We have the same passion today as we had before. And I, by the way, I've worked with a lot of these couples who have public profiles. It's all bullshit. And everyone thinks that they need to show up at these events or parties or get together, show their love, showcase their love or what have you. And I just think like, I think this is a tradition with humans that has just kept going over time. And I think it's just, I'm like the opposite of, I have never been interested because someone, a friend of mine got in a relationship. I would be like, oh, that's awesome. And you feel good about it.
Yeah. I respect that.
Well,
I like that answer.
You can respect or not respect. That's just the way I
no,
think.
No, I'm saying yeah. I like that answer. It's a good answer. Milani215 asks, are you a freak in the sheets?
What? Milani215 asks, am I a freak in the sheets? Tony, why don't you clarify what freak means so I can understand the question?
Freak as in freak in the sheets.
You yes,
freak,
yes. No, no, I know.
Freak I'm in just, the sheets is like, do you like to get wild?
What does that mean, Tony?
Like, do you like to stir away from the most basic?
What's stirring away, Tony?
You want me to give you an example?
Well, I don't know. I'm like asking freaking, what freak like, in the sheets
freak
is.
Freak in the sheets is
are you
like,
a freak in the sheets, Tony?
I can be.
Okay, I am a freak in the sheets.
All right. I can be. It takes a lot of effort, though. All right. Yeah. Next one is Chessie295. This is the last TikTok question.
Okay. These TikTok questions are kind of in the same category. So curious, like as we switch social media platforms, if also the questions switch.
Yes. Chessie295 asks, are you single or married?
I'm single.
Okay. Isn't it funny how they went from single or married? Like they didn't even say, are you single or are you dating? It's just single or married. Like there's that's only, it. That's it.
Yeah. Either you're available or not, I guess.
Pretty
right?
much. All right, we're heading.
But you know, the funny thing is when you Google my name and you can Google like Mike Bear wife, it basically will say there's some Google searches that say I'm married to a woman. There's also like a ton of fake profiles that are on like straight, gay, bi, all these websites. Like I get literally 5 to 10 people who hit me up every single day with I don't know who in this, wherever they're living is creating fake profiles of me, but so I can understand why that person may be confused.
We're in the Facebook.
Let's go to the Facebook. Yeah.
Realm.
These are my mature people.
Rod Edwards. Boxers or briefs?
I like the like, is it Lycra material? Spandex and Lycra? Kind of like you're going to go to the gym and work out. Boxer briefs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, there's Facebook. They're writing paragraphs.
Those are my peeps.
They're right. They're going in. Okay. Salima asks, how can I overcome fear phobia?
What's her name?
Salima?
Salima?
Yeah. Salima?
Salima. Well, the answer to gain over fear or phobia depends on what you're afraid of. And usually it helps to really pinpoint and figure out, is it based around you trying to feel safe? Is it based around what others think? Is it based around you don't believe in yourself? You know, first it's identifying what is the real fear, peeling it back, and then kind of understanding, okay, the nature of me is I'm afraid to leave the house because I'm afraid of what people think. Well, then you have something to work with and say, okay, well, is it true? No, people aren't thinking about you. You know, we're all, phobias and fear to a degree can become an extremely self-centered problem because we forget that people aren't thinking about us. But it just depends on what the phobia is. Obviously, that's a lot different than like someone who has a lot of OCD, or hoarding is very different than someone who is afraid of flying. So it's just, it depends what it is.
What was the last thing you were afraid of, if you don't mind me asking, that you had to like overcome?
I was afraid of public speaking because I didn't think I was very good at it. And I started to get asked to speak at different events. And some of these events would have, you know, 3,000 people at them. And I didn't know who I was in that space. I didn't know who I was because we often don't know who we are when we're trying something new because we've never done it. And so it was, and I actually got on the phone with someone I was dating and talked to them about, you know, me going on stage. And I think asking for help during those periods of time takes away a lot of that fear. And I pray and I meditate. And then I get the like, I'm a badass. I'm going to figure this shit out.
Yes. Michelle Young Dixon asks.
Michelle Young Dixon.
What's your secret to balancing so much in your busy life without becoming overwhelmed?
That is a great question Michelle asked, which is how do we balance our lives? And I think it's first figuring out what area of our life feels really out of balance. And for me, it's important that I get sleep, you know, get at least 7 hours of sleep. It's important that I sweat almost every day. It's important that I socially interact with different people, even when I don't want to. It's important for me that I surround myself with people in my profession that I like and that I love. And I also meditate. You know, even before doing the podcast today, I was meditating and I basically was like, all right, well, what are 10 things I'm grateful for with this current podcast? Because the brain can go to every problem and sometimes it does really naturally. And so for me, finding balance is really figuring out how I can get grateful in those areas of my life that I'm wanting to be better at.
I like that. All right. Nancy from Facebook asks, I'm 77. Could I still benefit from one decision?
Absolutely. I mean, we all could benefit from working on ourselves and figuring out how to better our life, whether we're at the beginning of our life or at the end of our life. So I would love it, Nancy, if you picked up a copy of One Decision and message me. I would love to hear what your experience is like working through it.
Yes. Bonkers Smith asks, how did you quit smoking cigarettes? If you had any, how did you manage cravings? I'm meth free, but still struggle with cigarettes.
Bonkers, that is a great question because a lot of people struggle with quitting smoking. And the line that they always say is, I'm quitting or I'm cutting back. But they're really not. They're just kind of convincing themselves that they're making progress. But cigarettes for a lot of people, very few people are able to smoke cigarettes where they're having like one before bed and one in the morning. Like in theory, that sounds amazing. And that's how everyone starts. The main thing with cigarettes is getting past the physical withdrawals. The physical withdrawals only last a few days. What I do, and I've done it a few times when I quit, is I had a friend stay with me and I said, hey, will you stay with me for 2 days? I'm going to order your favorite food. I'm going to get us like even a massage. We're going to watch movies. I'll make it as comfortable for you as possible. The only thing you have to do is ensure that I don't smoke a cigarette. Get me past this physical addiction part. And it works.
Just 2 days?
Yeah, 2-3 days. And then there's a group called Nicotine Anonymous. It's free. Free group. And it works. It absolutely works. Because once the physical addiction is gone, it's about how do you cope with life? How do you deal with your anxiety? How do you deal with fear? How do you deal with people, places, or things where you would be smoking before? And by creating a community of people, we're able to change much easier than doing it alone. A lot of people who try to quit smoking cigarettes, they do it alone, and it's really frustrating. Whereas Nicotine Anonymous, I know the anonymous programs don't want like promotion, but they work. And Nicotine Anonymous works. Like the first check-in at that meeting is you raise your hand if you have an hour. You have an hour off nicotine. And then they do 24 hours and 1 week. And I just can't recommend it enough. And it's free.
Nice. Christy Soloway asks, how do you maintain your sanity when dealing with everyone's issues?
I mean, I think I'm hardwired where it depends what the issues are. If I'm helping someone, I feel at peace, no matter what their issues are. When their issues enter in my own life, like say if I'm working with someone and their issue is they're chronically late, which then causes me to not look good, that's different than me helping someone. When I'm helping someone, I don't even carry any of their, I love doing it. So I don't even feel, I don't carry any of it.
Gotcha.
I'm excited for them. I'm excited to help them.
Bob asks, where did you get Vita? Is she a rescue?
Okay, Vita, I say that I rescued her from Bakersfield. Vita Maria is my dog, but I rescued her from a place that creates Labradoodles. So she was a dark Labradoodle. I got Vita when she was 7 months old. Dogs are not cheap when they're Labradoodles. I think I spent like $2,500 on her. And I know for the people who talk about rescues, like rescue. Vita's the first dog that I've had. And based upon my schedule and lifestyle, I wanted to have a dog that I could train from the beginning and not, I don't have the patience or skill at this stage to train a dog from a shelter. That was my belief. Now I think differently, but you know, people get upset if you don't rescue a dog, but it's like, I've had a lot of friends too who have rescued some dogs and have had some very bad consequences.
Yeah. Larissa Brooke Ford asks, are you straight, bi, or gay?
Let me ask you this, Tony. Why do you think, so it's a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think she's asking if I'm straight, bi, or gay? Like, what do you think is the actual, like, agenda? Just say it. Like, what? Why do you think she's asking?
She wants to know if she has a chance.
Okay, but let's say when she has a chance, that means that I would be straight. Okay. So let's say I'm straight. Now, what are the odds I'm going to end up with Larissa, who right off the bat, her first question to me is, are you gay, bi, or straight? What straight man is initially going to go, Larissa, you sound like a dynamic woman. I mean, you are fascinating the way your brain works. That's not attractive.
No.
So are we sure that she's asking because she wants to see if she has a chance?
It's probably then just to ask. She's just curious.
Yeah. I just think it's like, look, I'm gay And it's kind of weird. Like, I've noticed comments since I've come out on Dr. Phil where, you know, someone will be like, oh, I love him, he's so hot. And then the comments, the other women would be like, yeah, but he's gay. And yeah, I was disappointed when I heard that. And then I'm kind of like, why would that create any disappointment? Because, and then I'll look at these women's profile and they're married. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, do women want the fantasy? Because I know there's like romance novels that women really get into. It's a huge industry.
Yeah.
Is the fantasy for women different than men?
Mm.
Because for men, I don't think like a gay guy, I mean, some guys may be really into straight.
Yeah.
Right. But guys don't go, oh, they're gay, now I can live in a fantasy. And I'm just wondering if females are more inclined for that, because that's more the kind of response I've gotten.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
Or the guys, like I looked at one of my Facebook comments that was like, I think I said, I don't understand Fast and Furious 9, because that was the worst movie I've seen
ever
in my life, right? And I didn't see the first 8, but I saw number 9. And this guy commented, yeah, that's because you're, he implied, like, I don't know if he called me a fudge packer or like, he basically like made a joke. Yeah, that's because you're like a gay dude, right?
Really?
Yeah. Which again, like, I'm not offended, right? Yeah. Like, but I'm like, what would make someone think that you don't like this movie and that because you're gay?
I don't know. I mean, I knew you weren't gonna like the movie. It's cheesy. It's unrealistic.
Yeah, I think with social media for anyone, you know, it's and that, and I'm looking forward to meeting more of the people who like have bought in Best Self in One Decision. And I like doing the empowerment group because I actually got to see people's faces and interact. Because over text, even with friendships,
mm-hmm.
when you text people, you can't tell the tone and True. You can't tell the vibe, and you have to add smiley faces or winks or hearts to help someone realize like you're not saying it with a certain tone.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to the days when I can start to meet up with, like, you know, mm-hmm. people who really love what I do, because then it just feels more real.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right. We're going to wrap this up with, I'm going to just throw out 5 questions from Instagram.
Yes.
All right.
So Instagram.
Instagram. Right. We're going to go
in. So it sounds like TikTok was all about if I'm single so far.
Pretty much.
Facebook, there were some questions about like dealing with life and some women who were asking about if I'm gay or straight.
Yeah.
And now we're over to Instagram.
Instagram. All right.
All right.
Jay, you're an attractive guy. Have you ever, ever considered posing naked?
Who says I haven't?
Ooh. We're going to leave it at that.
No. All right. I don't, I'm not drawn to posing naked. I don't know what, it doesn't do anything for my self-esteem. So I don't know, you know, like, I'm sure there's photos out there for sure, though.
All right. Let's see. Tamara asked, do you have a special someone in your life? I mean, it's not.
Right now, I don't have a special someone, but I'm dating.
Okay.
I'm dating right now.
Next question. Thomas, yeah. Would you go on a date?
With who?
He didn't say specify with who. He just said, would you go on a date?
Yes, I went on a date a week ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Savannah asks, when will you come to Brazil?
Savannah, I love Brazil. I'll probably go within the next month.
All right, Mike. This is the last question.
Last question.
All right, we're wrapping it up with this.
Yes.
This is a text. Someone texted you a question. Hey, Speedo guy. What is your favorite Speedo you have ever worn in the world? And what brand would you like in Speedo?
What's my first of all, I've only worn Speedos in the last, I would say, year and a half.
Mm.
Which is weird because it says I've gotten older. I've kind of been like, why wear more fabric? Like, why? Like, it makes no sense. It's hot outside. Why am I wearing more fabric? Like, it doesn't make sense. But then by going to Brazil, like, it's unusual if you're not wearing a Speedo. Like, that is the nature of going to the beach and what have you. But on TikTok, people have loved me in Speedos. And so I would say, like, any Speedo that's comfortable.
Okay. Well, to answer the question, I actually brought
Speedo options. What's in the bag?
You have several Speedos in that bag.
Okay.
Which out of all those Speedos is your favorite?
Which out of all these Speedos are my favorite?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of Speedos. Holy shit. I have a lot of Speedos. They're really cheap in Brazil. I would say my favorite Speedo right now are these gray ones.
Okay.
They're just really comfortable and they have a little zipper.
Oh.
So you could put like your hotel room key in the zipper. It's like waterproof. No, I'm being serious.
I love it.
I thought that these ones would look good, but I feel like I look kind of weird in them.
They're a little wonky.
These ones, I feel like I need to be painted or something and going through a forest. So it's not quite the right fit. These I bought in Brazil like 5 years ago, but they're Sagarelli and cheese, meaning like they're just, I've worn them so much that like, you know, they could probably, you know, be a blanket on someone really tiny. These, there's just no way I would wear these in public because they're way too tight. So I would go with these gray, comfy Speedos that I bought in Rio de Janeiro.
Nice. And that's it. That's to wrap it up.
Well, thanks everyone for asking me questions. And hopefully I was able to answer what some of you were interested in. And, you know, the best way to support this podcast is if you could rate and review it, especially on Apple. I know I've asked you guys before, but that is so helpful because it helps with the algorithm and helps me accomplish more of what I want to do. Also, you can text me. Yes, it's really me because people ask me. You can text me at 310-984-1858. That's 310-984-1858. And then if there's anything that you thought was relatable or fun, you can always message me on Instagram at Coach Mike Bear. You can always, if you tag me when you post about the podcast, you know, I'll likely reshare it. And I appreciate the support. So next time we get together, we will keep it magical and keep it going in a magical direction. So talk soon. Bye-bye.
This has been a Stage 29 podcast production. The podcast is executive produced by Patty Ciano, Laferne Cusack, and Stephanie Kaysen. Our audio editors are Jackson Ruff and Jonathan DeMatti. Callie Kelts is the social media producer, and a special thanks to the rest of our podcast crew, Rwani Horenige, William Cusack, Lisa Clark, Katie Brown, and Morgan Kaler.
The Always Evolving with Coach Mike Bear podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional, medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnosis, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during this podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professionals.